specific scriptures the Lord had given me, this message, that was the scripture he gave me, what that is, that he's not restrained by many or by few. That we need to just step out and trust, even when we're alone, or one or two of us, that he is going to intervene in the situation and bring his presence. It's in 1 Samuel 14. Also, the scripture the Lord gave me, when I came back from my dad's, I was kind of discouraged because of his state and because of my sister's state. And I really was praying, and I really got hit hard because I was troubled while I was there. And it didn't, you know, I'm not used to not getting over being troubled because I am an overcomer. So I had to ask the Lord, you know, and that's what happens. When that happens, I say, okay, what's going on here, Lord? I'm not overcoming here. So basically, I had an expectation that my dad was going to be a particular way and that my sister was going to be a particular way, and they weren't. So that was where the problem was. So he gave me a scripture, which I did share with you at the time, but I'll share it with you again. It's in 2 Corinthians 2:14, which is, thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph. Thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph in Christ. So we triumph in Christ because the fragrance of him is diffused out of us wherever we go. But the comfort that I received from continuing to meditate on that word and continuing to bring it before the king was that unto those that are dying, it's a word of death. And unto those that are living, it's a word of life. So it kind of, you know, I kind of cricked my neck a little bit and realized that I was not responsible for what happened to the word after I shared it, or what happened in the situations after I left. That God was the one that was going to use me. So it really set me free. So I hope that it sets you free too. We have to be obedient to the Lord in whatever it is that he gives us to do. And just do that. We continue to read the word over and over and over again. I do. It's a discipline. There are things sometimes I don't want to do even in my disciplines, but I have learned from early on as I was saved and brought to the king that I need to do those disciplines. I need to follow those disciplines. I need to continue to be in the word. I read the word so that I can know the victory and continue to read the word until my new creation rises up and stands alongside of Christ, not my old man, so that my old man is defeated in whatever situation that I find myself in. That's what we want. And we go through things to know God better, not to fall, but to know God better. That's the whole idea behind us going through things, even in this world, so that we come into a greater measure of understanding and knowing God. So I'm going to read this scripture, and then as I go through it, hopefully I'll remember everything the Holy Spirit told me, and then I have some notes which I can share also. But, you know, the Lord requires us to fight the good fight. Titus wrote it to Timothy. Paul wrote it to Timothy. Titus wrote it in his... We're to fight the good fight and wage a good warfare. It's not about the people around us. I am so born again. So born again that nothing and nobody can pull me off the rock except me. I'm the only one that could bring me to any place of defeat, because I am just such and such a place of the Lord. And it's not me, it's him. It's what he's done in me over so many years of walking with him. It's who he is in me. And yes, it's been a discipline, and it continues to be a discipline. It's not over. I still have to wage a good warfare and fight that good fight of faith every day to win. But there's a victory. And in this chapter, God opened up this scripture to me. You can take these principles that I'm going to share with you in any situation and apply them and win, overcome. So this is 1 Samuel 14. I'm reading the New King James Version. It's about Jonathan. You know, we have a lot of teachings about Saul and a lot of teachings about David. This is about Jonathan. Jonathan was a godly man. Jonathan was Saul's son. And he was involved in many of the battles that Saul was in. And he was a mighty warrior of God and a believer and a receiver. Now it happened one day. Now here it is, just one day it happened. Any one of our days, it could happen, right? Any one of our days could be the day that God uses us to bring tremendous victory. It happened one day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said to the young man who bore his armor, "Come." Now this is what he said. "Come, let's go over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side." But he did not tell his father Saul. There are some reasons why he didn't tell Saul. One was because Saul probably would have told him not to go. The other reason he didn't say anything, he didn't tell the people, was because he was not looking for glory. He just knew that God could use somebody, and he said, "I'm going to put myself in this situation to be one of those people." I'm not going to focus on Saul, although he's in the story. I'm focusing on Jonathan, what he did. Because, see, in each one of our stories, there are people around us that are doing other things other than what we're doing. And we needed not to be distracted by them. I'll just say this. Saul was sitting under a tree with somebody that was related to Ichabod, which means the Lord has departed. And he was hanging around with Eli's son, Eli being the priest that did not train his children in the ways of God. So he was hanging around under this tree in the middle of this tremendous battle against 3,000 Philistines with 600 men. He was sitting under the tree with these friends. So we got to be careful who we're sitting with. That's the only thing I will say about that. Saul was sitting in the outskirts of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree, which is in Migron. The people who were with them were about 600 men. Ahijah, the son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh, was wearing an ephod. But the people did not know that Jonathan had gone. Jonathan said, "Come on," to his armor bearer, "let's just go." They didn't know that he had left. Between the passes by which Jonathan sought to go over to the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on one side and a sharp rock on the other side. And the name of the one was Bozez, and the name of the other was Sinner. The front of one faced northward opposite Michmash. The author is saying, I want you to understand that he found a strategic position. That's basically why he's describing. He found a strategic position to be in protection against the enemy so that he could strike. So this is where he was. He found this place. The front of one faced northward opposite Michmash and the other opposite Gibeah on the south. Then Jonathan said to the young man who bore his armor, "Come, let's go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us. For nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or by few." Within that verse, he's already saying, God is going to do it. God is going to save us. But he's not restrained. He's not prevented whether he's going to win by many or by few. So he can win using just me and you. Now his armor bearer was a faithful servant and loved him and served him well. So his armor bearer said to him, who you have standing next to you is very important. "Do all that is in your heart. Go then, I'm with you according to your heart." Here I am with you. So his armor bearer is standing next to him, ready to go into battle with him, trusting. He's trusting because he's many years walked with Jonathan and trusts him. Then Jonathan said, "Very well. Let's cross over to these men and we will show ourselves to them. If they say thus to us, 'Wait until we come to you,' then we will stand still in our place and not go up to them." He's talking about the enemy, okay? "But if they say thus, 'Come up to us,' then we will go up. For that means that the Lord has delivered them into our hand, and this will be a sign to us." So he already had a promise from God. He had a hope. He had an understanding. He had an impression, a strong impression. He felt to go. He heard from God. He also encouraged himself in the word. He encouraged himself in the scripture in Leviticus 26:8 that reads, "And 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight, and your enemies shall fall before you by the sword." He encouraged himself, as I did further study, in this word. He also said, in Judges 3:31, he encouraged himself in the scripture. After him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, who smote of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad. And he also saved Israel. So Jonathan already had in his belt, in his heart, the reality that there was two men that were before him, and probably many others, who had won against the Philistines, who had overcome and had victory over the Philistines with a very small amount of armor. So his whole thinking was, why not me? And I'm going to tell you that. Why not you? Why not you? Why not you be the one to go and step into these situations that you find yourself in? Also, he calls them uncircumcised, which means that the Philistines don't have any power. They don't have God on their side. They don't have the reality of the living Christ with them. Of course, he didn't know Jesus yet, but the living God was speaking to him. Holy Spirit was there with him. I also want to share with you that the Old Testament is the men and women were under the law. But when they followed the law, they believed, they did walk in the same anointing and power that the Holy Spirit would come upon them. We, being believers in the gospel in the New Testament, we have Christ within, the hope of glory. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And I live by the faith of the Son of God. His faith is what's in me. So the victory is not in us. The victory is in God. And because we are much more finely tuned, because the Holy Spirit is inside of us, we are able to overcome a greater measure even than Jonathan. Wow, that was good. So, come up. They said, come up to us. So he put a sign out. He wasn't really sure if what he was doing was God. So he asked for a sign. He said, Lord, you use the enemy to show us what we're supposed to do. So the enemy, because of who they were, they said, yeah, come on. And they were mocking Jonathan and his armor bearer. They didn't really know who they were. But they were mocking. Oh, the Hebrews are coming out of their holes. Both of them. So they came up and both of them, 11, showed themselves to the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, look, the Hebrews are coming out of their holes where they have hidden. Then the men of the garrison called to Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, come on up to us and we will show you something. They were mocking them. They were thinking they were going to kill them. So Jonathan said to his armor-bearer, come up after me, for the Lord has delivered them into the hand of Israel. And Jonathan climbed up on his hands and knees with his armor-bearer after him, and they fell before Jonathan, the enemy. He climbed up on these rocks with the two big rocks on either side. He was in a place of strategy, showed himself to the enemy in a strategic, safe place. This is very important. He didn't go barging in, you know, by himself into 3,000 Philistines thinking he was going to win. He came from a strategic position that he was feeling safe and protected from. And they killed almost 20 people. The guy would come up, Jonathan whopped him on the head or did something, and the armor bearer killed him. So the two men working together slaughtered about 20 people. That first slaughter that Jonathan, here we go. Jonathan climbed up on his hands and knees with his armor bearer after him, and they fell before Jonathan. And as he came after him, his armor bearer killed them. That first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men within a half an acre of land. And there was a trembling in the camp. See, we step out and do what we can do, and then God comes in behind us. After we have stepped out in faith. Now, Jonathan had a very strong faith, went out and did what was in his hand to do. And then God came. So God sent a trembling in the camp, in the fields, and also in the midst of where the Israelites were. But more importantly, he sent an earthquake in the midst of the Philistines. There was a trembling in the camp, in the field, and among all the people. The garrison and the raiders also trembled, and the earth quaked. And it was a very great trembling. Now the watchmen of Saul in Gibeah of Benjamin looked, and there was a multitude, melting away. And they went here and there. Now I'm not going to read about what Saul did because that'll be a distraction. Suffice it to say that he was performing religious ceremonies which had no power. He was already beyond his glory. The chapter before is when he made the altar by himself when he was supposed to call the priest. Now he has this group of people around him that are performing religious ceremonies that have no power. And he didn't know that Jonathan had gone. He was busy hanging out, relaxing under the tree. He was just doing things. Anyway, Saul and the people who were with him assembled, and they went to battle. That's what happened in the 20th verse. Indeed, every man's sword was against his neighbor, and there was a very great confusion in the Philistines' camp. Moreover, the Hebrews who were with the Philistines before that time, who went up with them into the camp from the surrounding country, they also joined the Israelites who were with Saul and Jonathan. Likewise, all the men of Israel who had hidden in the mountains of Ephraim, when they heard that the Philistines fled, they also followed hard after them into battle. So the Lord saved Israel that day, and the battle shifted. So the Lord used Jonathan to overcome. He did not use Saul. He did not even bother talking to Saul about what was going on. So again, you have to be Jonathan in the midst of a situation. You have to be Jonathan asking the Lord, what am I supposed to do in this situation? And believing. Jonathan went and he looked. If he hadn't gone, he would not have seen. If he hadn't even gone, he would have never found the strategic place that he was able to overcome the enemy. So he went and he set out and asked the Lord to come and ask him. He asked the Lord to show him in a way that he could understand. What is the enemy going to say? Is the enemy going to say, wait, or the enemy is going to say, come? And the enemy said, come. So he knew then that God was going to be with him. And he knew that he would overcome. And he did. So that's who we are. Also, Jonathan was humble. He was not looking to get glory. Otherwise, he would have told his father, and he would have told all the people, and he would have been boasting about it, which is actually what Saul did after this entire battle. He started boasting that he the one that did it, but it was Jonathan. So that is very important when we are going out to warfare. Most, I'll just tell you this in truth, and the Lord spoke this to me again. I needed to be encouraged, and he spoke very clearly to me that what I was doing was what I was supposed to be doing, being home and praying and fasting and praying and fasting and praying and fasting and reading the Word and gardening and pastoring and leading worship and taking care of my grandchildren. So we need to hear that sometimes. It's just like Jonathan, Lord, I need to hear you. What am I doing? Am I in the right place? The Lord just made it very clear to me that most of the battles that I am fighting, nobody sees. But God and I see it, and when I see the victory, I am rejoicing with Him. So intercession is not a public ministry. This ministry is not a public ministry. Some of you are out there doing things, and that's awesome, and that's God. But it's more about what happens here on Sunday and what happens with you and the Lord as you're walking through the week, that you are praying and fasting. I'm so encouraged by you. I know that you are struggling, but I can tell you that the last time I saw you before you came back, you were a horrendous mess. I had a vision of her. Okay, I'm going to share this with you because she's on the other side of it, and I even talked to her about it. She was in a pit. And the devil himself had a teaspoon, and he was dropping 2 teaspoons full of dirt over her because I had given her some instruction, and she said no, which is okay. I knew it was the Lord. She was very willful. That's the truth. I remember being willful myself. I remember people saying things to me. But you know what? I told her. I shared with her what I saw in the spirit realm. And she said, I'm sorry. I'm not I'm not doing that. We talked a few times in between, but here she is. She came back, and it appears that she's not having success, but she is having success because she is making very big strides in her own being to be holy before the Lord and to say yes to God, coming, working, so many things that she has overcome. So I am thrilled by your life and the testimony of your life. So this is one person. There's only one person here, but there's a whole mess of you that I'm praying for and standing for in the Lord, Pastor Roy and I. And there are a whole mess of people that we are Jonathan's to out in the world. I had shared, and I'm sharing this testimony, I had shared this. I was teaching on the Holy Spirit from here, and I mentioned the word cudgel, and I had a stick, and I said that the Holy Spirit loves us so much that he actually lifts up that cudgel and smashes, the same way that the enemy would want to put infirmity on us, which is anything that's causing us stress in the natural and also in the spirit realm. That's what the enemy, that's what infirmity means. That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to smash us with infirmity. And the Holy Spirit loves us so much that he lifts up a huge stick and smashes the enemy around us. There's a couple I'm praying for, and they're not walking in a holy place, but I'm praying for them. And I said, Lord, I'll take the intercession, you know, whatever is necessary. So I had a conversation with the young man for quite a while and shared a lot of things. And then I said, all right, Lord, I'm going to start praying. So I started praying, not only for him, but praying for the young lady. And a week ago, the Holy Spirit, I was sitting in prayer, the Holy Spirit gave me an open vision of her standing and screaming like this, screaming at the top of her lungs. And the Holy Spirit had a cudgel, and he was smashing all of the enemies around her. She's not a believer, so the Holy Spirit was doing that because of my prayer. You understand? So that is the power that we have. When we're talking about having the power of Christ and walking, that's the power that we have. Job 22 says, you shall decree a thing. If you come from the purity of your own hands, even those that are not righteous will be saved. So as a Christian, that's what we are called to do. So here is a tremendous encouragement, and I was very encouraged by this story of Jonathan, that not only that he was obedient and walked and was walking, and there were so many things that he did. He took the scriptures, he encouraged himself in the Lord, he had an armor bearer with him that came and stood alongside him and was with him. And, you know, the prayer of agreement has a lot of power. So there were so many things that he did that blessed me. God is looking for believers to show his power through. So that scripture brought this message forth. That is God. God is not prevented, whether he saves by many or by few. It's not a big deal to him. We don't have to have a huge amount of people involved in this church or in this. And this is what the Lord encouraged me with when I was asking him about our church and asking him for a vision, asking him for an interpretation and understanding of what he was doing in our midst. Not about anybody else. It's about what's going on right here. And he assured me that he's using us powerfully. I think it's very important that Jonathan showed himself to the enemy from a safe place. We had to be very careful because we don't want to tip our hand unless God is calling us to speak something specific to someone that is not walking with the Lord, because you can end up standing out there by yourself. But Jonathan asked the Lord, are you in it? And if you're in it, they're going to say this. And he was able to slaughter those 20. And that 20 that him and his armor bearer slaughtered turned the tide for the entire battle. And they lost. Now see, it's very important to also look at this. When these two came and started to do this and they slaughtered the 20, there was a great commotion because of God sending the earthquake, and everybody that was included in this battle knew that God was in it. So all the Hebrews that had forsaken standing with the Israelites, all the ones that had joined the Philistines for fear of their lives, they all turned, and Saul himself, who was hanging out under the tree, they all came together with David and Jonathan. So be assured that when you start moving and you start doing these things for the Lord, many whose faith may be waning or they may be off somewhere backslid, they're going to come. They're going to come alongside with you and see that God is doing something. The battle was won by the Lord. So I'm going to challenge you. Is it going to be you? So I'm going to read 2 Corinthians 2:14 again, because this is the end of this message, which is the other gospel, the gospel, the reality of what in the New Testament is God saying to us. We will always win. Did you hear me? You will have victory. The name of this message is victory. You will have victory in every situation you find yourself in. There are tools in this portion of scripture that you can use in the battles that you're in. I was sharing with Gail last Tuesday night, and we were talking about chocolate. So you know what happened is I ate too much chocolate this week. So I'm giving her scriptures about resisting temptation and how God comes alongside and he gives you all this power, and here I am inhaling chocolate. So I threw it in the garbage. So, you know, I'm not the only, you know, we're not alone here. We're together. We're standing together. This church is standing together against our enemies. Your enemies are my enemies. And Pastor Roy's enemies. We are standing together with you because we want you to have good success. I look at Martha, who has a restored relationship with her daughter and has a beautiful new grandson. That name means gift of God. And that her, I remember praying with her that her kids were not even married. We prayed them now. They're married now. They have a baby called the gift of God. I mean, God is faithful. He's a faithful God. And each one of you has a testimony of what God has done in your life and what he's going to do, including me. He's still moving. So, thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumph. As trophies, in the Amplified it says, as trophies of Christ's victory. It's not us, it's Christ. I know that you are in a very hard place right now. I pray for you a lot, Karen, with your grandparents down the street and your father. There are things that are going on in each one of your lives that are difficult. But I want you to know that God has the victory. He's got the victory ready for you. All you have to do is obey his word, stay in the word, keep praying, keep fasting, keep, and that's what the Lord kept saying to me. Keep praying, keep fasting, keep praying, keep, because there's power. Some of you may not be hearing something very specific from the Lord, but if you remember the songs we sang today, I was so blessed by the words to overwhelmed again. You know, sometimes I sit there and play and I just weep. What's that? We know God, Christ within, the hope of glory. So in the Amplified, it says, as trophies of Christ's victory. We are trophies of Christ's victory because we are triumphing. Now, I'm sharing with you this little stupid thing. Who cares about the chocolate? But you know what? It's a big thing for me. And it's something that I have had to break many cycles in my life, in the way that I'm eating and the way that I look at food. That's something that I'm overcoming right now in my life. Being healthy, going to nutritionists, exercising every day. I mean, I have to get up. I got up on that trampoline before I even came downstairs this morning. I said, yeah, I have to do this. It's discipline, and it's important that we encourage each other in it. So whatever it is that you're battling, even if you failed today, know that tomorrow, even right now, it's a new time. You can, like this, wait a minute. Thanks be to God who causes me always to triumph, always to triumph. And hearing from God, I heard from the Lord about my dad, so I can go back to him when I'm starting to feel upset about it and say, Lord, you said this and this, and you have encouraged me to do this and this, and that's what I'm doing. See, because we all have things in our lives in the natural that would embroil us and cause us to get in a big tizzy if we focus on them. Again, wrong focus. We got to focus back on to Jesus. Pastor was saying it this morning in the worship. We have to focus on Jesus. We got to focus on what he's doing and not what the enemy is trying to do. Because he's a liar and the father of it. There is an enemy. I will tell you, as God is my witness, I have seen him, I have heard him, I have battled with him, I have overcome him, and he has overcome me. But I am an overcomer, and he doesn't hang out too long in my presence, because he knows his time is short. Whatever it is that he's trying to attach himself to in my life is going quick. That's how we know sometimes. You look and say, what's going on here? I will tell you this. I believe that the Lord is coming back quickly. We have watched two or three shows. One was about Israel and them trying to stop the rapture so that the Jews could rebuild the temple on the Temple Mount and destroy the Muslim temple. This is a television show. Then we watched another show called Dig, where they're going through I think it was the same one. Anyway, there was all these things going on, and what sometimes you want to say, what is God doing? Look at the movie industry. What are they projecting? There's another one called The Messengers that we watched a few times. The guys turned out to be angels, and Satan came to the earth in some kind of cataclysmic meteor and smashed, and he's walking around trying to find people, and they're even talking about the horsemen. I mean, it's incredible. I'm sitting there with my mouth open. I can't believe this is on television. This is like a show people are watching. So it's coming. I'm telling you, it's coming. God is my witness. If they're showing it in the movies and wanting you to start thinking in that direction, then Satan is working. But God has already won, and that's what you have to remember. Through us spreads and makes evident the fragrance of the knowledge of God everywhere. Death unto death. Those that are dying, we are like the smell of a rotten corpse. That's what the message is. Because what you're doing is you're causing them to be exasperated because you're speaking the truth into their lives and they're not ready to hear it. So it's not all roses and wonderful when you're sharing the testimony and sharing Christ. But you know that God is going to do something because you've shared the living, breathing gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's real. So I'm going to see if I can find the rest of that scripture, and I'm going to end with that. So be encouraged. This is a message of encouragement. I'm going to share what I shared with Gail, because it's the word the Lord had given me for my own resisting temptation. It's Psalm 105. Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, and make known his doings among the people. If you do those three things for the rest of your life, you'll be a victor. Sing to him, sing praises to him, meditate on and talk of all his marvelous deeds, and devoutly praise them. You need to talk and share with each other and with other people about what God is doing, who he is. Meditate on his word. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek and inquire of the Lord as their indispensable necessity. If you're feeling like, oh my God, I'm helpless, I can't do this, what am I going to do, help, then you're in the right place, because you need God. We all need God. Indispensable necessity. Seek, inquire of and for the Lord, and crave him and his strength. God's strength is his might and his inflexibility to temptation. That's what we have. God gave me the power to throw that chocolate out. That may sound stupid, but I needed to throw that chocolate out because I was eating too much of it. So In the natural, I didn't want to throw out the chocolate. I wanted to eat it. But I threw it out. Earnestly remember the marvelous deeds that he has done, his miracles and his wonders, the judgments and sentences which he pronounced upon his enemies. And it goes on. But that was just the beginning that we had shared together, because she was sharing that she was struggling. So, you know, we need to also be honest with each other. I've been singing for the last 3 weeks the song called Brokenness Aside during the communion. I said, we're sinners. But he's the Savior. And he takes our brokenness aside and he makes it beautiful. I didn't like the song when I first heard it because I have an automatic resistance to saying I'm a sinner, because I'm always so in such a place of saying I'm not a sinner, I'm a saint. But I'll tell you, listening to the song and learning the song and singing the song brought me to such a place of humility, again, in a whole measure of asking God for my help, for help in whatever it is that I'm in, whatever it is that I need help with, from the least to the greatest. Okay. Paul is reading this scripture because he was able to come to a place and see that Christ was working. And the place where he came looking for Titus, and he couldn't find Titus, so he went somewhere else to find Titus. He ended up going through Corinth. He wasn't going to go through Corinth. It's in Corinthians. He was going to go somewhere else. So he ended up going to Corinth, but he found out the power of God was moving, and this woman, Lydia, that's what he says, I found Lydia. Lydia got powerfully saved and set free. It's not about the multitude. It's about the one. It's about the one. So I'm going to ask you to pray. As soon as I finish this is the end. I just want you to pray for one soul and ask God, who am I supposed to be ministering to? Who am I supposed to be sharing the living Christ, the gospel with? Who am I supposed to be ministering to? Thanks be to God, 2 Corinthians 2:14, who in Christ always leads us in triumph as trophies of Christ's victory, and through us spreads and makes evident the fragrance of the knowledge of God everywhere. For we are the sweet fragrance of Christ, which exhales unto God. Pastor Roy shared last week and the week before, he was talking about this atmosphere around us. You know, that was so beautiful. You say, well, no, Abba, I belong to you. The fragrance of Christ is here because I am in a worship place all the time. So any moment that I need the fragrance of the Lord, I just turn and worship. Just worship him. Unto God, discernible alike among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the latter, it is an aroma wafted from death to death, a fatal odor and the smell of doom. To the former, it is an aroma from life to life, a vital, fragrant, living, and fresh life. And who is qualified and fit and sufficient for these things? Who is able for such a ministry? We? Now, this is the key. There are people who share the gospel who have things going on in their churches, and I'm not speaking against anybody, because the word says that whoever is preaching Christ is preaching Christ. At least they're preaching Christ. God, the disciples wanted to cast, you know, bring fire down on these other people that they didn't know who were preaching the Lord, and Jesus said, no, whoever is preaching Christ, let them be. They're with us, because those who are with us are not against us. So I'm not making a judgment. I was through many, many different venues and searched, and I just needed more of Jesus wherever I was. So that's why I'm here where I am now, because I still need more of Jesus. But this is what Paul says, and this is what Pastor Roy and I say, and I believe that each one of you, because you're here, are saying the same thing. For we are not like so many, like hucksters making a trade of peddling God's word, shortchanging and adulterating the divine message, but like men of sincerity and the purest motive, as commissioned and sent by God, we speak his message in Christ the Messiah in the very sight and presence of God. So that's us. We are real Christians. I am a real Christian. One of my children was complaining to me recently, and I turned around and I said, that's who I am. This is who I am. I said, well, maybe, you know, maybe you weren't as wicked as I, maybe you're not as wicked as I was. Which is not true, but. So let's pray, because you need a soul to share the gospel with, somebody to minister to. Father, we thank you that the truth of who you are is in us, that Christ within is the hope of glory, that those of us who have said yes to you, that are here, those that are from near and far, so many have walked through the doors of this church and are in other places sharing and beholding your beauty in other fellowships and other venues. We, right now, we ask you for one soul that we can pray into the kingdom. Just speak to each soul here and give them a reality, not only that you are with them, but that you are going to use them. And that, Lord, even as Jonathan stepped out, believing, was encouraged by other men of God before him, that we are also encouraged by other men of God before us. And those, we bless our teachers, those who have taught us, and those who are continuing to teach us as we continue to study your word. I pray for a supernatural impartation and vigor for everyone here to study the word, to read the word, to get more inculcated into the measure of faith that you have given them, and that you would increase the measure of faith that each one, you will put one soul on their hearts that they are to minister to and bring the reality of your living presence into that person's atmosphere. So we do thank you for that. I thank you for each soul here, and bless them and let them have a beautiful end of the day, this whole day. Thank you for bringing them here. In Jesus' name. Amen.